Portuguese presidency. I still remember Pedro Costa Pereira. I don't know where is he now, but he was then doing accession negotiation talks, and he helped me so much to do it. And I also remember signing of Lisbon Treaty. So in any case, a lot of nice kind of historic events. I see Radvili is with us. Yes.
Yes, he's a very fine diplomat.
Yes. Okay, so I don't know, maybe, you know, so I am Žygis, if you can call me like this, or people are calling me Ziggy, you know, in foreign countries. It's very complicated if you need that name. I am chairman of Foreign Affairs Committee. And Radvile is a chairman of European Affairs Committee. It's just 2 3 weeks that we are, you know, kind of approved in those new functions, and we thought maybe you could first of all present your ideas and priorities like incoming presidency, and then I will follow up from my side with foreign policy issues, starting with Belarus, that is so close to our heart and that can burn during your presidency. And then Radvile can speak about future of Europe debate, because I still remember historic times when Lithuania, Portuguese, you know, diplomacy, Irish side, we've been working very close before Lisbon Treaty was approved. Maybe we can also find some kind of cooperation here, knowing that it will be a difficult debate. But would you agree with this kind of framework, and maybe you could start that dialogue?
My name is Luis. I am the chair of the European Affairs Committee. Your counterpart is on my right side, is Mr. Sergio Sousa Pinto. And we are glad to welcome you and to have this opportunity. But first of all, I think it's better to start with your own counterpart, Sergio, and where we are staying by our colleague.
Thank you.
So we are going to wait a while till your colleague arrives to talk more detailed about the priorities of the Portuguese presidency. We can move on to the very prominent issue of the situation in Belarus, which does regard us more than our colleagues dealing with strictly internal European affairs and agenda. When it comes to Belarus, we are very much aware of the positions which have been taken by Lithuania. We actually, there are a few differences. You are more vocal in your considerations regarding the situation in Belarus. The Portuguese position is totally identified with the one which has been adopted by the European Union. So we are very much in favor of freezing assets from a number of individuals. Of course, condemning in very strong terms the widespread use of violence as a political tool in Belarus. We do not recognize the electoral results. And so during the Portuguese presidency, the position which has been taken by the European Union will not be changed or modified or will not suffer any alteration. Very critical in the strongest terms, and trying to target individuals and not the Belarusian society or economy by means of creating obstacles or even forbidding traveling through the space of the European Union and by means of freezing their assets abroad. So this would, of course, concern Mr. Lukashenko, his son, his closer collaborators. So there will be no noticeable change on the position, on the European position, which, as we see it, has been strong and hopefully effective in order to bring about change in Belarus. But of course, you are experts on the situation in Belarus. You are forced by geography to develop yes. knowledge and understanding of the specific situation in your part, in your region. And we are very much interested in hearing from you fresh information that can broaden our understanding of the troubles experienced in the region. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I see that Radvili is already with us. So, okay, maybe I will start briefly with Belarus and other foreign policy items. Maybe Radvili can follow up with her statement. And then, in any case, we would really be very grateful if you could also brief us with the whole context of your presidency. So, on Belarus, well, I will say like this. You know, if you maybe read the book of Timothy Snyder, big historian, who once wrote that those territories from Baltic to Black Sea, they are called bloodlands because they suffered from totalitarian regimes so much. But the country that suffered the most is Belarus. Two-thirds of population is annihilated by either fascism or communism, and now they had in addition this Lukashenko regime. And we have a big window of opportunity, to be honest, maybe even during your presidency, to bring this, you know, democracy, not only change, but the right for the people to have free and democratic elections. During German presidency, we did really a lot. We introduced some sanctions. European Endowment for Democracy in Brussels is working very well to provide assistance to those protesters. But honestly, this is very much about geopolitics. I will speak openly. I am former diplomat, now I'm politician, so I'm speaking free. This is a Putin's play kind of you know, game that he you know, he made a lot of games in Georgia, in Ukraine, and he's supporting this regime very much. If we would be able to convince Putin to open the way for democracy under the auspices of OSCE, where we have a powerful German diplomat now, Helga Schmidt, leading the organization, that would be the best. And honestly, that would be the best even for Mr. Putin, because if with each day of protests, this kind of you know, revolt, you can say, is becoming geopolitical. It's not Ukraine until now. They are just demanding for free and democratic elections that was stolen by Lukashenko, not only for the first time. But if Putin is still continuing his support to Lukashenko, with each day we see it on opinion polls, Belarusians are turning against Russia. It might become geopolitical. It might develop into full kind of crisis Ukrainian type that we all want to avoid. So my plea to you, please continue working on, you know, high level with Germans, French, I would say also Biden administration that pledged support to democracy ideas finally. after the Trump administration. And I am former ambassador in Washington, D.C. I'm trying to say to my American friends, it's very good that you have those nice words on democracy, but you know, democracy litmus test is in Belarus. 10 million of Europeans are being killed, imprisoned, and that's happening on our frontiers, and you are doing nothing. You are shaking hands with Lukashenko. We saw Pompeo visit into Belarus. If Biden administration is really want to turn words to deeds, he has to work with European Union. And here I had a great talk today with David McAllister and this EU fact-finding mission with also Polish chairs of Foreign Affairs Committee. They have an idea that could be one of the results of your presidency to establish high-level group based on European Parliament, Brussels-based, with some, you know, former presidents, former prime ministers, that would act like emissaries of the European Union and would try to start a dialogue with this illegitimate regime, with Putin, with Washington, with biggest capitals, trying to, you know, kind of you know, fix this political, geopolitical deadlock that we are in. Because until Putin is keeping it, nothing will happen. People will be killed. And you know what? You know, if regime is strengthening the sanctions, we will have drama. We have thousands of people leaving Belarus to Lithuania. And if that's happening, if all those, you know, protesters will be killed or imprisoned, it will be complete failure of European Union. You know, we speak big, but we can do nothing with people who are trying just to have a right to choose their freedom. Okay, they are democracy in free and democratic elections. They are not asking for EU membership. They are not knocking to our doors. Just give us right to have this elections. So if, you know, if during your presidency we try to initiate this high-level group, like, you know, you remember the group of Kwasniewski and Cox that were doing a lot of good stuff in Ukraine, and they break, you know, the deadlock, they open the way for association agreement. We don't need now association agreements, we just need OSCE observed elections. So I will stop on Belarus and briefly mention a few other points for your presidency. In Moldova, we have a positive change. We have new great president, Maia Sandu, EPP family elected. She will try to convene new elections. She might have friendly parliament and government. This is maybe the last chance for Moldova. That will happen during your presidency. So if we can help her in, you know, reforming the country, maybe out of all Eastern Partnership countries, we would have some kind of window of opportunity of success. Because situation in Ukraine and in Georgia, unfortunately, is not very good. In Georgia, opposition is kicked out from the parliament. Well, they don't want to join the parliament because they say that elections were stolen. But that's another story. In caucuses, we are not present. Maybe one day we can travel together to Moldova, to Caucasus, because it's not only Georgia burning, it's, you know, Armenia-Azerbaijan conflict where EU is also not present. It's Turkey and Russia dividing the region, and those Armenians and Azeris and calling to us each day saying, where is big EU? You know, well, I say you didn't sign association agreement during Lithuanian presidency. You relied on Russia, unfortunately, in this case. Now they understand that that was wrong. But, okay, I will stop here and remind something that is also close to your heart when you think Lithuania. You should know that Lithuania is the only parliament in EU that blocked the ratification of EU-Cuba deal. And we did it for the reason, you know, my embassy was the closest to Cuban intersection. My embassy in Washington was the host of all Cuban freedom fighters. And being, the first nation that, revolted against the Soviet Union. We are kind of sensitive on communist dictatorship. We do not like Castro regime. And we do it for moral reasons, openly. And we think that the current EU-Cuba agreement doesn't include references and doesn't make this economic openness that the EU wanted to do, doesn't have a link to democracy and human rights. If we have some conditionality here, we would be able to ratify it in Lithuanian parliament. But honestly, those Cuban dissidents in Congress, they were the best friends of Lithuania. You should understand it, that America during occupation was the only maybe nation that never recognized our occupation. My embassy was working in Washington all that time. So we have, links in this area that is related with this democracy agenda. Maybe we can find some deal with Americans. Maybe we can find it together with you. But here we, here we also kind of link Belarus and Cuba together. If we are sincere enough on those issues, we have to be, globally equally sensitive to different issues, including on Cuba. But that's just for you to know that we have this strange card in our pockets, and we will have to negotiate if we want some success on those issues. I stop here. I can speak hours, but if maybe Radvile can also say a few words on future of Europe, because small countries have to keep together on institutional changes. I remember it when we've been drafting Lisbon Treaty. So maybe this is one of the ways that we can do it. Radvile.
Just to add a few comments to what you have just said. The situation you mentioned in Cuba and in Belarus, they are radically different in nature, because Cuba has always been a geopolitical anomaly, but Belarus is seen by Moscow as an issue of existential importance, and it falls certainly under Russian sphere of influence, regional sphere of influence. And the worldview taken by the Russians, of course, is vitally incompatible with Belarus leaving their sphere of influence as a political satellite of Moscow. To expect that we can dramatically change facts by means of affirming in international fora our moral superiority and the moral superiority of the political system we have chosen is a very weak argument. It will be very, very improbable that such approach will lead to a positive result from the perspective of the Belarusian people. We have been not at our best during the troubles in Ukraine. The Ukrainians have paid a terrible price. The European Union, as we see it, was not generous enough with the Ukrainians when Western support could be decisive. And we let things develop in the way we saw. So, we have to be very cautious when it comes to Belarus if we want to be realistic about what is achievable and about the interests, the vital interests of the Belarusian people who won't be be ridden of this horrible regime which they did inherit from the past, from their painful past, which you so well described, because these are the martyr peoples they have paid more than anyone else. So we have to, as we see it, follow a targeted policy. Pain should be inflicted on the guys who benefit and maintain the country under their iron grip, and not to inflict pain on the already much punished Belarusian society. So, targeting individuals, freezing their assets, preventing them from traveling abroad, profiting from their mischiefs, economic and others, and putting international pressure on the regime. Always being aware that we are engaging not so much with Mr. Lukashenko, but with Mr. Putin, who is the one who in the end has the tools and the key and the vital interests to command the situation in the region. So I think that when it comes to Cuba, the situation is entirely different. I personally understand very well. I would subscribe to the Lithuanian point of view vis-à-vis the Cuban regime. But time runs against them. I mean, sooner or later, all that decrepit, corrupt construction will fall apart. It will happen by itself. Unless we keep an outside pressure which tends to maintain their ideological, nationalistic ramparts still there. Because, I mean, it will fall down like, you know, a souffle, like it happened in other countries in the past. Your position, very critical of the Cuban regime, is music to our ears. We follow you without any reserves. We also have a big mess in which we have a particular interest because of our huge community there, which is Venezuela, which is now a failed country under a terrible regime, which is spreading poverty at an unseen pace. This only finds a similar situation in the communist economic policy of the 20s. It's a suicidal madness, making much more victims, now that we are talking about this, in this present moment, making more victims than in Cuba. Not to mention that Venezuela is still there because of Cuban support. So they are connected issues. And we were also following very interesting, with huge interest and concern, the developments in Venezuela. Thank you for giving me the chance for these remarks. Would you like, Capolas, to speak more about your field, meaning the Portuguese agenda?
Yes, thank you. I don't know if our colleague Radvila is already in line.
Yeah, maybe. Yes, she's here already. Yes, Radvila is with us. Yes.
Then I would like to say welcome. It's a very good opportunity to change some opinions. As you know, in the coming days, we'll start the fourth Portuguese presidency of the Council, and we will have in the next semester a very large program of activities, including in the parliamentary dimension. As you know, the three main priorities for the Portuguese presidency are resilience. We would like to reinforce investment and the recovery and to mitigate the effects of the crisis after the historic German semester. We need to concretize the good decisions we have been in the recent weeks. Social Europe, is our second priority, to reinforce the European social model. We will have a very important conference in Oporto. And the third priority is reinforce the role of Europe in a global world. And what we have talking about is one important aspect of this priority. But we will have to have a special view under Africa, and we will organize a conference because we must see to Africa not only with an economic perspective, but a global perspective. And of course, the relations with India and China, of course, we will have some important activities about it. We are also prepared to defend a strong role of the national parliaments on the conference on the future of Europe. These bad times we are living must be an opportunity to build a different future, and we must profit this opportunity. Then we will have in the 11th January, the first meeting with the presidents of COSAC. I hope to see there our colleague Radwile, and we will follow the example of German presidents, and we are preparing some different initiatives with different commissioners according to the subjects that are in every moment in agenda. Then it's a pleasure for us to meet you, and we thank you your initiative for contacting us, and we hope in the near future to have the opportunity to cooperate more and more in favor in a strong Europe. Thank you.
Thank you. So maybe Radwile can respond, and then I would like to come back a bit on Belarus, if possible. Radwile.
Thank you. So, bom dia. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Actually, we haven't tried such kind of format. I'm pretty sure this is the kind of first time for you as well to have, before the...
Sorry, we are having a problem here. We can see you, but we cannot hear you.
Garsiau kalbėti, Radwile.
Okay, I will do my best. Can you hear me? No?
Getting a little bit better.
A little bit better. Okay. Now? More or less? Okay, I will try.
I don't know if it's about the
yeah, we
micro,
can hear, but it's difficult.
Okay, let's do it like this. Zhigis will respond regarding Belarus, and I will change my
now
slide.
Now it's good. Now it's good, Radwile. Now
great,
it's
great.
Yeah, please continue.
It might be the problem with the internet connection. Nevertheless, Lithuania is fully covered by the network, but sometimes it's complicated. So thank you very much. And I think this is kind of new format, not even for us, but for you as well, to have this meeting before you take over presidency for European Union Council. And thank you very much for your priorities. We have already some issues where we see different opinions, you know, and nevertheless we always try to focus on what unites us, but not to focus less on what divides us. But nevertheless we still see those issues of divisions as well. But from the positive point of view, we are really happy to see on your agenda the Green Deal. Of course, this is an initiative of the whole European Union, and maybe we don't have other choice, but seeing, you know, the consequences and seeing our daily life and changes in climate, I think that is very important, and I'm glad that the United States are coming back to this agreement, or at least they try to come back to this agreement as well. The other thing I would like to point out, you already mentioned the something is wrong.
No, we are managing to solve the sound problem. Please go on. Sorry.
So the other thing is what you already have pointed out, the future of European Union. And if you could elaborate a little bit on this more, because I understand that there are differences of how countries see it. One would like to go more to changes, possible changes of treaty, to have bigger involvement of national parliaments. You mentioned yourself that the role of national parliaments is very important, but would you be, this role is on the matters that, discussions on daily basis, or you would see that there is a need to have some changes in the structure of European Union in order to attract more people, so to say, to the decisions making. The other thing, maybe it's a tiny question, a very narrow question, but as now it's discussions upcoming regarding minimum wage. What Portugal will suggest on that matter? Because there will be countries that would say that it's contradicts subsidiarity, the others who would say we are okay with trying to raise the minimum wage all over the Europe. So what would be your perspective, point of view? Because we will have to have answers until middle of January. I see. It's do you understand me? Do you hear me? Okay. So then the other questions, I think migration pact is very broad question in terms of timeline, and we will have lots of discussions. We understand southern part of Europe, but we expect to be understood by the others regarding our eastern neighborhood, which gives us a lot of challenges as well. And the last thing I wanted to say regarding, I would say, the general view towards European Union, and we witnessed this discussion regarding budget, and I'm pointing out the Poland and Hungary, and basic approach on rule of law and common rules. So we as a country and the political family, we are indeed very pro-European, and what is of most importance for us, that we join this union not only as, from the point of view that we would get some benefits, but that this would be the unity of union of solidarity, of security, and of common values. So whenever there is a discussion how we should react to certain countries, if they would like to act not according to rule of law, we are very clear here that we, by all means, would try to help those countries and to spread our voice among others that we really are in favor and supporting common rules, and we think that we have to play according to them. So these are my remarks, and if you could elaborate a little bit more on the European agenda. Thank you.
Okay. You have announced a lot of subjects that are very good terms for deep discussions, but as you know, Portugal is a very strong European country. Our public opinion is in favor of the European Union and from their original values. And one of the most important is, of course, the rule of law. And this is why we defend not only on theory, but in fact, and this is why we think the last agreement we know, all we know that is the possible agreement, but we can forget this dimension of the question, not only budget, but budget with economic and financing rules, but according to the main values of Europe. And I think we will have in the conference on the future of the Europe the possibility to discuss a lot of matters. This is why is the main reason for this conference. We don't know in Portugal, we are not sure if we must or not to change the treaties or to open a large discussion on it, because in this complex situation we are living, we are a lot of troubles in this moment, and to join more troubles, I don't know if it is the best solution, but of course we need to make this discussion, and maybe in the context of COSAC we can do it. About all the other questions we are talking about the minimum wage, of course we defend it, and this is why we give a lot of importance to the conference on social pillar. We need employment, employment with rights and with common rules. And of course the problems of migration, it's another subject we need to discuss, to make a deep discussion, because it will be in agenda in the coming years. And with the demographic problems we have in Europe, we need to define a common policy about it, and this is why we will have the conference on migration. It's one of the initiatives of the trio of presidencies. We decided with Germans and Slovenia to make in each presidency a conference on this subject, and we will organize a conference about it. Then we have a lot of subjects to discuss, but it was a great pleasure to have the opportunity to meet you almost personally, and I'm sure we will have the possibility to cooperate in a short time. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could just react a bit, also maybe touching the issues Radvil and you discussed, you know, when we did Lisbon Treaty, we had, well, not similar, but still issue with Poland. I was then deputy minister, and together with President Adamkus, we helped Europe to solve Polish problem. And afterwards, Adamkus received this European award of, well, that he actually, Merkel and Sarkozy asked us then to help with Poles. So you can rely on us and Radvile. If you will ever have little Polish problem, call Lithuanians, because, you know, we've been living with them for 500 years. We know how to live with them. We, you know, we work with them. Just today I was in talk with Polish chairmen of Senate and Seimas, as they say, in also Parliament. But so we have our contacts not only with Nordic Baltic family, but with Visegrad or Polish tribes, and we can help you, because like you, we are deeply European. It's about 80 or 90%. We are not Eurosceptic. We are deeply pro-European coalition and government, and Lithuanians in general. So on Europe, you can rely on us during your presidency. And also just a few words on foreign policy again. You know, you mentioned Venezuela, for example. Do you know that small Lithuania is accepting thousands of Venezuelan refugees because we help them? It's, again, kind of moral duty. We suffered, you know, we were first to destroy the Soviet Union. Also, every third is killed. So we kind of understand them. So on on those freedom issues in this big American hemisphere, you can also rely on us from Venezuela. And also, let's speak about Cuba. Let's find some maybe compromise. But really, you know, please help us with Belarus. Because honestly, even if we do nothing, something will happen. Because this time, this is really serious. You know, I am following Belarusian issue for, I don't know, 20 years? From 24 years when Lukashenko started, we had different periods. This time it's the whole nation, and you will not stop the nation. You know, if you look to the history, on January 13th we will commemorate 30th anniversary when Russians sent troops to kill us here. I was also standing in front of the parliament. They killed my friends, but then it was the nation. You cannot stop the nation. You can kill some, we will not stop. The same is happening now in Belarus. So if Putin waits and supports the regime, it will explode. And it will explode in a way we don't want. Because I didn't mention another factor, you know, Putin is also building a nuclear power plant, Astravyets, and thank you for European Council decision asking Commission to ban its energy, because it's like nuclear bomb, it's like Chernobyl too, because, you know, they drink, they steal, it's, you know, they have no nuclear safety authorities, and we saw it already. So we will ask your solidarity in building this EU, you know, commitment not to buy its energy, because without our money, they will not continue building second, third, and fourth reactors. And that's just 30 kilometers from my office I'm sitting right now. So my suggestion, Sergio, if I can, you know, knowing that we are kind of Ayatollahs of Belarus issue, and, you know, we are like embassy of Belarus freedom, and Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, elected leader, is just, you know, 200 meters from me, somewhere in the office. Can I invite you to event that will be organized in my parliament with my speaker on 22nd of March? Why the date? It's the date of big national Belarusian or our common hero, Kalinowski. You can check the, you know, Google it. He was killed by Russians again, just, okay, 500 meters from me, hanged actually, 1863. He was our revolutionary hero, and he's like inspiration of Belarusian nation. We found his body buried by Russians 1 year ago on the hill of Gedimin as well. That's a nice story, but the revolt started. It's the figure that unites them. Please come to this event, if not physically, online. I want you to hear us, you know, to hear Belarusians, to hear the whole region. I already have a commitment of David McAllister present. Tomorrow I'm speaking with new chairman of Foreign Affairs Committee of the House of Representatives from US, Gregory Meeks. You know, my tribe have 1/4 of Lithuanian in America, 1 million of Americans of Lithuanian descent. Can you imagine for little nation? So we have some links in Washington too, mostly, well, with Republicans and Democrats. But so I will unite the best on Belarus, but I want you, like presidency, just to immerse in our history. It's a chance for Portuguese presidency to make a historic change in the whole region. And whatever Putin is telling to you about, you know, zones of influence, it doesn't fly with Lithuanians at all. You know, we've been receiving letters from Helmut Kohl and who was then Mitterrand, saying, don't revolt, stay with Gorbachev. We said, thank you very much, we will fight for freedom, and we won that fight. We are happy. I have 4 kids. You know, we maneuver well. We are shining example of European success. And we did it with Portuguese presidency. It was you to start negotiations with us. First round of negotiations under Pedro Costa Pereira, you signed Lisbon Treaty. And, you know, we are grateful for that. And by the way, when I was deputy minister, it was my decision to open embassy in Lisbon. We were stupid enough to close it. We will maybe try to reopen, and we hope you will reopen it in Vilnius. But please come to this event on Belarus. If you can, you know, spend 1 hour, 2 hours with us, because it will be your leadership that we really need on that. And then we will find deals, you know, on Cuba, Venezuela, migration pacts, whatever you need, Europe, Poles. But Belarus is existential for us.
Thank you very much, Ziggy, for your very kind words. Of course, I will accept your invitation. I'm always very happy to visit Vilnius and go to Vilnius. I should tell you, the one of the places I've been in the world, and I've been everywhere, believe me, that most impressed me is your Museum of Occupation and Freedom. Oh, I would like Portuguese students, all of them, to go to Vilnius and visit your museum, because people, until they see it, they can't believe it. I wouldn't like to leave you with a wrong impression. I think you should be, you and your neighbors, you should have a leading role dealing with these regional issues, because you are the ones who are aware of realities, and you can measure what's taking place, what can potentially happen. And so we would not question a role in this. Of course, we would very much like you to be also to show some empathy when we deal with this problem of the refugees, which is really our own regional nightmare over here. But we cannot compare these situations. They are absolutely different, and yours is of a very particular seriousness, and it's much more dramatic. Anyway, we in Portugal, being a very strongly pro-European country, we are absolutely convinced that your borders are our borders. So that's how we see it, and that's how we deal with it. And you can be sure that from Portugal, either in the capacity of heading the council or as just another member state of this our common political endeavor, Portugal will be always very firmly sitting by your side, because that's our side. It's the same side. It's there. We are not talking about two sides. It's one side. And one last remark to tell you that I totally agree with your vision that medium-sized states have to talk to each other, because, of course, we all believe in the rule of law. And we all believe in the great architecture which is put forward in the treaties, but we are also very much aware that if medium-sized countries do not pull together, we will be ruled by a directory. It's written in the stars. It's a fact of life. Things don't change, whatever the treaties say. So we have to deal with political realities in a pragmatic and realistic way, and we have to create permanent channels of dialogue so that we are able to have a relevant voice and not bystanders that clap excited about everything that comes from the major capitals. So we are very similar countries, similar challenges. Your situation is historically more critical, your recent history by far more tragic, but you can always count on us, and please call on us during the presidency if there is a useful role that we can play but that we cannot see. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You spoke like Lithuanian, you know, so complete agreement.
I'll be seeing you both in March.
Yes, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Goodbye.
Olá, Ascensão, olá, Conceição. Alguma de vós pode confirmar se ouvi ver, por favor?